Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by The Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned to Q99.7. As we study the Scriptures together, we're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, God Loves Us. The Scriptures reveal many traits and attributes of the living God. A trait is a quality that makes one person or thing different from another. God is different from man. "I am God, and not man, the Holy One in your midst." Hosea chapter 11 and verse 9. An attribute is a word ascribing a quality, an intelligible feature by which a thing may be identified. Consider carefully these attributes of God. God is omniscient. God knows everything. God has unlimited understanding. God has unlimited knowledge. God has infinite awareness. God has infinite understanding and insight. God possesses universal and complete knowledge. God is omnipresent. God is present in all places at all times. God is everywhere, every time, all the time. God is omnipotent. God is almighty. God has complete and unlimited power. God has unlimited authority. God is all-seeing. God sees everything. Nothing is hid from Him. Open your Bibles to the Psalms, chapter 139. The psalmist declared in verses 1 through 6 God's omniscience. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, and my rising up, you understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You, God, are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You're on every side of me, both behind and in front of me, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The psalmist states God's omnipresence in verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. The psalmist praises God's omnipotence, verses 13 through 15. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The psalmist recognizes that God is all-seeing, verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Your eyes saw my embryo, and in your book were all its parts inscribed, and even the days ordained for me when there was not one of them. Some alternate readings of that verse. How precious also are your thoughts to me. O God, how great is the sum of them. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 17 from the New King James. Our God is omniscient. He knows everything. Our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Our God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Our God is all-seeing. He sees everything. This all-knowing God, who is present everywhere, who created the heavens and the earth, and sees everything, and all we do, loves us. God loves us. God's love for us is not only revealed in His words in Scripture, but God's love is exhibited in what He has done for humanity. Someone has said, love is more easily demonstrated than defined. That statement is most meaningful when we consider God's love for us. God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle John declares twice in this text, God is love, verse 8, and again in verse 16. Greek scholar A.T. Robertson makes this clarification. John does not say that love is God, but only that God is love. Bible commentator Roy Lanier writes, God is love in the sense that love is the essential quality of His being. No love would equal no God. Without love, He could not be God. It is what men style as an attribute, an essential element of deity, without which He cannot be God. Everything God does is done in love. He rules out of love for man. He chastens or disciplines because He loves man. God forgives out of love. God gives gifts unto men because of love. He created the earth and mankind by love. He commands instructions for the good of man because He loves man. He will judge us all someday in love. Nothing God does or ever has done was prompted in the absence of love. God is love, and everything He does is done in love. Roy Lanier, from the Epistles of John. God loves us. God demonstrated His supreme love when He gave His only begotten Son, His one-of-a-kind Son, to die on the cross for humanity. Isaiah the prophet prophesied, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul declared, For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. God loves us. John the disciple of love wrote, Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John chapter 15 and verse 13. God loves us so much. John 3:16 is sometimes called the golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 contains just 25 words. Sometimes John 3:16 is scripted on a large placard and displayed in stadiums at ball games. Virtually every word of this wonderful scripture is full of meaningful expressions of God's love for us. God loves us. Let's examine in more detail some phrases of John chapter 3 and verse 16. First, God so loved. How much did God love humanity? He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sins. The Holy Spirit, through the inspired Apostle Paul, employed terms that we use in measurements. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, how wide, and length, how long, and depth, how deep, and height, how high, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The width of God's love reaches to every man and every woman in every tribe, in every country, in every nation, in the entire world. God's love is extended to every race, every rank, every culture, and every language in the entire world. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus died for everyone. In his book, the beloved Doctor describes the extent of God's love in these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. God loves us. The length of God's love is from age to age, generation to generation, from the beginning to the end of time. The Apostle John wrote, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." John chapter 13 and verse 1. God loves us. The depth of God's love reaches to the bottom of the sea, as it were to redeem the chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul declared about himself, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. God loves the murderers. God loves us. The height of God's love is demonstrated when corrupt, vile, and wicked individuals are raised through submission and obedience to his will from the slime pits of sin and elevated to sit with Christ in heavenly places. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. God has done so much for us. He loves us so much. Listen to these picturesque words of the song entitled "The Love of God." Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God so loved the world. The scope and the object of God's love was for every person, the good people and those who are evil in every place on the earth. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. The Apostle Paul emphasized that Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. The Apostle John wrote, "He himself is the propitiation, the atonement, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. If there had only been one person in all the earth that was lost, Jesus would have died for that one person. That is matchless love. The matchless love of God. What an act in its completeness. What a love in tender sweetness. Again, we repeat the words of the psalmist. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Isn't it wonderful that God loves us so much? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God vividly proved his love for us when he gave his only begotten Son to suffer and to die the agonizing death on the cross for our sins. Read the account in the last chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the prayer of Jesus in the garden. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Luke chapter 22, verse 42. His arrest, read about it. The beating, the mock trial, the humiliation, and then the execution in the same manner as if God's Son were a vile criminal, nailing the Lord of glory to the cross. The scene told by these inspired writers is unforgettable. Paul, early in his life, was chief of sinners, thanked God for his gift of love. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. God loves us all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever portrays God's love for everyone. God doesn't want anyone to perish in hell. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God invites everyone to come. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. God loves all. God is not a respecter of persons. God is in every way, shall we say, an equal opportunity being. Peter, through the instructions of the Holy Spirit, welcomed the Gentiles to come to Jesus. Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. God's final invitation is free and open to all. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come," and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. God loves everyone, but each of us must accept his invitation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him — the expression "believes in him" is a conditional requirement. It necessitates repentance, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, confession, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and baptism, immersion in water, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, to receive the blessings of God's love. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Jesus reminded his audience of Israel's sin, God's punishment, and the way God healed the snake bites. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. The bronze serpent on a pole did not help anyone until he or she looked at it. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Belief alone, or faith only, is powerless to save until belief and faith works and obeys. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James chapter 2 and verse 24. Salvation comes when the believer hears and accepts the truth, believes and follows the conditions, turns in repentance from sin, and turns to God, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The believer confesses that he or she believes God's conditions and God's promises, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33. Every penitent believer will then desire to be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. God loves us. If we love Him, we will do what He commands. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you, John chapter 15 and verse 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15 from the American Standard Translation. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints' and angels' song. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the scriptures with us this morning.